Welcome to the Williams Meekin YB Herton phone conference line.
Morning.
Good morning, Monty. How are you?
Great, Karen. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I gotta get on to this WebEx, so... come on. Who else is on right now, Monty?
I think it's just you and I. It's all I've heard speak up.
Is that right? Oh, my gosh. Well,
everybody's probably getting ready for Easter. I know the stock market's closed down today, so everybody didn't get up early to see how their stocks are doing.
Well, I'm glad I don't have that problem.
So what's new over your way?
Oh, let's see. We had snow yesterday, which is no big... I guess that's not new.
When do you normally lose your snow over there?
Huh?
When do you normally quit snowing over in that part of the country?
Normally, at least by the middle of March, at least. But anyway, it keeps on giving us all this lovely...
Yeah, over here we get a lot of rain still. Still coming down. It's supposed to be a fairly... it's a nicer week coming up this coming week than the one we just got done with.
Well, I hope it warms up a bit. My goodness. It'll dallying around, not getting with it.
Well, I think we'll go ahead. Anybody else like to say hello, or if you're there?
Good morning, this is Ruth.
Good morning, Ruth.
Go, Super Monty.
Do what?
Go, Super Monty. Super Monty.
Tell you to go, but I don't know about Super Monty. That's for sure.
We do.
Thank you, though. I'd like to welcome everybody to the call. Kind of go over a few things today. Friday is usually I start the call with a review of kind of what we did last week and some of the major topics that were discussed and everything. But for those of you that are on the WebEx, it's nice to have you. For those of you that are just on the call, not on the WebEx, I know there are people out there that do that. That's quite all right. We'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the call. The first thing I'd like to do this morning, maybe, and that's just kind of mentioned, if you're on the WebEx, the mission, Hill-style mission, and that is to educate and motivate ourselves and all those whom we follow a path that leads to health. So that's basically here on our call, and basically help others do the same. And our company that we represent is a company called Meekin. They're partnered with the Healthy Child, Healthy World, both dedicated to toxin-free environment. And so that's kind of real important that we have an organization that we partner with and know that they're definitely headed on the right path in regards to best way, I guess, to get things cleaned up around, and that is if we can take care of our children and getting them in better environments and better food in their bodies than what they've most been eating. Been eating over our lives, basic things are going to happen. Ruth joined us on Monday. She got back from the Pathfinder call. Some real good information that I think is real important. That was one of the things that she talked about was commitment and self-control. And I find that so true. You know, no matter what we do in life, we have to make a commitment. And then we have to have that control, like Ruth talked about, in order to follow through with what we did. And two of the basic words that she, two sayings that she brought to the call, which I thought was very important, was just stop it. Just stop it. And I thought that was very important. How do we stop the things we don't need to do? And whether that be, in regards to health, eating the proper, we just need to eat the proper foods, and we need to take advantage of all the products we have and whatever we're doing in our life, we know that we need to make it better, whether we're building, that's building the business or whatever, just stop it. And the other thing she made and commented was, do it now. Just do it now. And I think that's real important, too, that you can, you know, we can always procrastinate. We can always procrastinate and put off today what we think we can do tomorrow. And I know that's definitely been a situation in my past. But she talked again about commitments, and she went through quite a few slides. One basically with disease and chronic inflation, the toxins, the body language, the healthy child, which you see on the screen now, a lot of the other slides that she's come up with, and we certainly appreciate that in regards to inflammation and what's really happening in regard to our blood vessels, how we need to stop that, to get that plaque and everything else that we can out of those blood vessels, so in turn, is what the main thing is, and that's called inflammation. Inflammation is one of the biggest problems that we have. It leads to chronic inflammation, of course, leads to those different diseases. Talked about toxins, acidic food, stress. Stress is very important in our lives. We need to get rid of it. Just do it and do it now and find out whatever you can to get rid of that. Too much what Ruth discussed on Monday. On Tuesday, if you're moving around a little bit out there or making some noise, get it. There, thank you. Thank you very much. It's very kind of you to do that. Karen and Donna did the call on Tuesday, which is a terrific and transparent Tuesday. And the participants that were on the call, those that wanted to, reported how they are doing on the program. They talked about PIMAG water and benefits it has to our bodies. Donna talked about bone health and our package that we have of bone health in regards to OsteoDense, CalDense, and the lactoferrin. And she went over the ingredients and that are in those particular products and why they're so important to our body. And I know that CalDense for me has, and the OsteoDense, rather, the bone health package has really, I'm totally committed to that on a daily basis, and I feel it's done so much good for my body. Wednesday, Mary Lou talked about OsteoDense and lactoferrin and how it was beneficial for muscle. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk a little bit about today and why we need to do certain things. She talked about swelling in our body and what's behind that? What is creating, why is that swelling occurring? And journaling and why it was so important. And we talked about desserts, Mary Lou did, to take with you when you travel or when you go places, because it's so hard for people when you go to visit somebody and or you go to a party or you go to a convention or wherever you're going, that it seems like somebody's always wanting to put a dessert in front of you that can really cause some particular problems. And then ways that if you went to a friend's house and you had a big piece of pie or cake or whatever it is, and have ways to say to people, discover ways to tell people that you just can't have sugar. And there was quite a few good ideas about that, and I just think one of the good ones is it's very simple, is that I just can't eat anything with sugar in it because it just literally does bad things to my body and causes inflammation. But thank you for the offer. I really appreciate it, but give it to somebody else. Mary Lou talked about this coming Wednesday when she hosts the call again, and she's going to talk about fats, and I thought that was very interesting. So on Wednesday, we know what the conversation will be about on this coming Wednesday. Thursday again, Ruth talked about toxins in our environment, why that was so important, and toxins in that are in our different foods that we eat, and the things that we need to really watch and be careful of, and be aware that's out there in the foods. And particularly MSG and glutamate and things like that. And amazing how what they're putting on labels nowadays to cover up certain things that they're putting in the food that isn't beneficial to our bodies. And I can understand why they do that, but we need to be aware of that and what things to look for and things to make sure that we're not putting in our bodies so we get the bad creations. And she talked about basically that food and water, particularly, that the toxins that are in our food and our water. And she also talked about the toxins and how the disease epidemics and where we go from there. She also talked about body language. Pay attention to it. How does it speak to you? You know, one of the ways my body speaks to me is through swelling in my hands and my feet. I can always tell that when I've eaten something and how it causes the swelling in my body, and there's certain days I can go and not have swelling, and I go back and I look at my journaling, or the days that I do have swelling, and look at my journaling that I've done, and I can really find out why the food that I ate that possibly could be causing that. But we just have a lot of toxins in our air and water, folks, and we need to take care of it. And, of course, what does Neekin do? It gives us those particular products to handle that, and I think that's very, very important. I'm so glad I became a Neekin consultant, and I'm just excited about that. The food allergy and the amount of food we eat. So that's what happened last week. I just want to say that, again, we allow people, if you're out there, to, if you have a question at any particular time, feel free to speak up, ask the question. So is there anybody out there at this time that we've gone through a week now? Does anybody have anything special that you'd like to say to us in regards to how you're doing on the program or what you found out about your particular body that has been beneficial? Now, I can be a salesman, and the first thing they teach you is in sales, and that is that you, once you ask a question, you don't speak until somebody else speaks. But because of the time frame, I'm not going to do that. And I know sometimes people don't like speaking up, but so we'll go from there. Today, one of the things I'd like to talk to you about is that if you're on this call or you missed a call, there's always ways of going and finding the call on the Internet. And that's at allswells.org, and if you're on the WebEx, it's right down there on the bottom of the slide that we're now looking at, and that will get you to where you need to be, and you can go in there and catch up on the slides the day that you particular missed and catch up, or maybe you'd like just to go back over and hear things again. So just want to let you know about that, and we have this call on Monday through Friday, so... Anybody else have any comments you'd like to make? And I'm going to get into our main subject today. It's starting to get kind of late.
Well, I want to comment that I went ahead and made that sugar-free dessert for our family's get-together yesterday, and it was a big hit. And I didn't use the maple in it. You guys all kind of made me nervous for that, so... I don't know. I used agave. Is that any better than the maple?
Not the same.
Oh, thanks. But agave was on the plus side. Is maple on the plus side?
I think so, but I'm not positive, Karen.
And they said, you don't have any sugar in this? And I said, no. And so everyone was pleased. I recommend going on the internet and finding sugar-free dessert.
Well, thinking about maple sugar, I just go back to what we talked about yesterday, and that was that glycemic load, that basically honey is lower than sugar in itself or glucose. So, you know, I don't think we need to be scared of it. I just think we need to be aware of the glycemic load and what it's doing to our bodies, but it is a sugar. But you brought up something I think was very important, Karen, and I'm going to talk a little bit, I guess, about that right now. And that is, you know, people, when they eat food, they don't really know what's in it. And, you know, and I had a conversation with Mary Lou, and we were discussing that in regards to most times when people sit down and eat a dessert or whatever, it's almost like in their mind, if it's supposed to be sweet, it is sweet. Even though you might not have put sugar in it and the things that we try to stay away from, but in most cases, people don't really know, you know, kind of what the ingredients of what it is they are eating. So it's just, I appreciate what you did for your family, and you took one more step in doing the right thing and getting educating them a little bit more on the sugar side of things. So.
And Monty, I'd like to add to that. This is Mary Lou. I think what we were talking about is for 40-some years, I have, every Thanksgiving, have made a pumpkin chiffon pie. And, I mean, family expects me to bring it every time. I have whittled that down to about one-third of the amount of sugar that that recipe calls for, and nobody knows the difference. So, you know, you don't need all the sugar even that a recipe calls for. So.
And we certainly know that our body, thank you, Mary Lou, and we certainly know that our bodies don't need it because of what really sugar does do to it, to us in regards to inflammation. So, what I'd like to talk to you, anybody else have any comments? What I'd like to talk to you today about ways of turning calories into energy and what in our body allows that to happen. And there's a word out there, and it's called, and I hope I pronounced this right, and if I don't, somebody needs to speak up. But it's called a mitochondria. And these are parts of your cell that convert calories and oxygen into energy. The more you have of these cells, the more efficiently they are. The more calories you can burn, both when exercising and at rest. In other words, they're kind of like, you get up in the morning, or you ever had your house cold, and when you go to your house, it's cold, what do? You simply walk over and turn up the thermostat. You know, to 72, 73, whatever it is you particularly are comfortable at in your home. And wouldn't it be wonderful if when we gained a few pounds that we could simply go over and turn up a dial on our metabolic rheostat and turn it up? Turn of a dial.
That was called exercise.
Yeah, thank you. With the turn of a dial, you can basically burn off the weight you gained it, only it wasn't that easy. So basically, how can we avoid... And I'm there, so I hope I don't offend anybody. I'm 70 years of age. But how can we avoid ending up old and fat? The answer lies in one word, and it's the mitochondria. And that's the powerhouse of our cells. Now, one of the things, and Ruth just mentioned it, and one of the things that our mitochondria do is that we can only way we burn calories within our bodies, and that is that we have to move. In order to move, we got to do some kind of an exercise. You know, it's just like a single cell basically has anywhere from 200 to 2,000 mitochondria cells that work hard. Most of these cells are in our heart, our liver, and our muscles, and they contain the greatest number. You wouldn't be able to breathe, much less walk out the front door of your house, if it weren't for these little powerhouses that release the energy, and they're basically responsible for keeping us alive. And the rate at which your mitochondria transform food and oxygen into energy is called our metabolic rate. And we've all heard that metabolic rate. Some people have a slow metabolic rate. They have a fast metabolic rate. I can remember when I was in high school, I had a young gentleman by the name of Alan. He stood about 6'2", and he was skinny as a pole. But that guy, I tell you, he could sit down and eat a meal that would put me to shame. But yet, he stayed slim all the time. And I have to say to Alan, boy, I love food. If I could just eat like you, but I know if I do, I know what I'll end up like. And it's so true. We see people like that. And that's because their metabolic rate is basically moving faster than it normally does. And the nice thing about it is, fortunately, you have the ability to determine the influence of these mitochondria, both of these factors. The answer, and Ruth said it, is in exercise. Now, I know a lot of people out there don't like to hear the word exercise, and I didn't. I was one of those that I avoided it, the subject. But basically, invariable as death and taxes. In other words, we're exercising all the time. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're up doing housework. You're up doing the dishes. You're getting up out of your chair. You're moving around the house. You're working down in the basement. You're working out in the yard. Those are all forms of exercises. And so, you know, one of the calls, I think it was Mary Lou, she made the comment, just move. Just move. Just get up and move and do something. You know, since I've read a little bit. I'm taking this information basically out of a book that I'm talking about by Dr. Hyman. And one of the things that I've found in understanding that is that now he made the comment was that, you know, have you ever just sat in a chair and tried to get up out of a chair without using your arms on the armrest or anything else, just trying to lift your body up out of the chair. Well, when I did that the other day, I was amazed at how I realized that every time I get up out of a chair or go to, I always use the armrest. And when I tried to get up out of the chair with just using my body, the movement of my body and my thighs, I could feel that pressure within my thighs. So one of the things I've done is to increase a little bit of exercises, and I know this, like I always said on this program, sometimes I'm a little crazy, is now just, if you just got up out of your chair 3 times. So now what I do when I get into a chair, I sit down, I get back up, I sit back down, I get back up, and I sit back down. And that's so much more exercise that I'm doing on a daily basis without having to go out and run to 10 miles or lift a whole bunch of weights. There's things that we can do to increase our exercise right in our own home. It's just like going out and you know, I can remember when I used to want to find the closest parking spot to the grocery store, you know, to the door of an office building or a grocery store or wherever I went. And now just by driving into a parking spot and finding the first empty place and rowing into it, I've increased that movement that I have to make in order to get into that particular building. That, again, is exercise. That's something that I normally wasn't doing. So now, by just doing the things in my activities that I do, I can increase the energy within my body. And when I do those mitochondria, I'm basically building and putting more mitochondria in my body, which in turns are like little furnaces. And that's the way I think about it now, is they're little furnaces that I'm injecting fuel into in the form of exercise, so that they will burn off the calories or additional calories that I'm eating. And I'm not saying we need to be calorie restricted, because when we go into a calorie restricted diet, in most situations, we go into starvation mode. And we go into starvation mode, what does our body do?
Hang on. Doesn't want to let anything loose.
That's exactly right. It hangs on and it turns to fat. So that's one of the things we need to be aware of. So that's why we just need to move and get moving and do little things. It's crazy. It's just like, it's easier to gain and retain fat than it is muscle. And while losing fat takes work, losing muscle is literally effortless. I want to repeat that again, because that kind of rung a bell in my head. It said, unfortunately, it's easier to gain and retain fat than it is muscle. And while losing fat takes work, losing muscle literally is effortless. And, you know, we start losing, and I found that, so, you know, things I'm reading and learning on this program, you know, is so important to me, because, you know, we start losing muscle mass basically at about age 35. Now, some people will start to lose muscle mass earlier, and that depends upon their lifestyle. Is it sedentary? Is it very active? Well, I can remember, you know, I look at kids nowadays and I go to my gosh, when, you know, they don't even have PE anymore. And I can remember going to class in high school and have to shimmy up a rope 20 feet in the air. You know, that was one of the things we did, had to do every week. I can remember running sprints, wind sprints in the gym. The PE instructor would have us do that. I can remember playing dodgeball and having to move quick and keeping moving and increasing my breath and increasing that sort of thing, and how that was so important. I look at now is how mitochondria, how they develop in our body, and they only develop in our body by us doing exercise. And I look at the kids today, and, you know, they don't even have PE in most cases. Or they, you know, they go out get a break or whatever, and what's the first thing they do? They jump on their iPads. They jump on their, they start texting. They do whatever. It's anymore, you know, I believe our generation will have so much hand power, it'll be amazing, the hand power, the strength that these kids are going to have. Or are they going to start having a lot of joint problems in those areas and joints that they're utilizing and doing texting? And I'm off on a kick, so I'll get off that right now. But those are just things that we need to think about, and just movement is basically so important. Although some people are obviously overweight, and I'm not saying everybody on this call is, because, you know, I've always made this point. People should not be on this call necessarily to lose weight. You know, so some of us are, and that's our goal. But people need to be on this call just for hearing something that might make them feel better about themselves or their health and just being healthier. That's what the mission of this whole program is to keep people and get people healthy as we possibly can. Although some people are obviously overweight and you expect them to have a higher level of fat, others are what we call skinny fat people because they look skinny, but they have very little muscle. If the ratios of fat to muscle that makes the biggest impact on health and metabolic balance, and a person's outward appearance can be deceiving on this regard. So, you know, and I know we've talked about this before on the call, but, you know, you can have a normal weight and still look obese or look overweight, but basically you can still be this. And I'll just explain this to you in a sample that he puts out here. Suppose you lose 10 ounces of muscle a year. Even if you gain 10 ounces of fat per year during that time, the numbers on your scale, you know, or whatever, may not change significantly, and your clothes may not fit differently. In other words, at age 70, which I am, you could end up the same weight, which I am not, you were when you were age 20, but be twice as fat because your muscle tissue has been replaced with fat. We call this metabolic obesity or skinny fat syndrome. It has the same dangerous consequences of your health as being obese. As you lose muscle, you lose mitochondria and your metabolic rate slows. So, you know, and I've seen people, you know, when I knew them in high school, they were they're same now at 70 that they were where they were in high school. But just because I look at their outward appearance of their body and they haven't been doing and eating the right foods that they need to take to be healthy, I know that inside of their body they could have some problems. And I think, man, I don't want to get into much more next. I might be getting into Mary Lou's subject on Wednesday. But that's why you need to be here on Wednesday to understand the different types of fats they are. Now, how can we change? We can change our mitochondria by eliminating the cause of metabolic damage. We need to exercise intelligently. Now, I'm not saying to somebody that's my age that if you're not in good health to go out and start running and walking and lifting weights and doing all that kind of stuff. Exercise intelligently. You know, it's just like my mother, when she was alive, we bought her a power chair, a lift chair, I should say, that sits in our front room, and, you know, spent a lot of money on it, and, you know, for some reason, mother didn't like it and never used it. But yesterday, I was sitting in the chair after reading some of this stuff that I'm reading, and I thought to myself, well, you know, I can't get down on the floor and do sit-ups. So what did I do? I took that chair, laid it in the down position as far as I felt that I was comfortable with, and then I laid in that chair on my back, you might say, and I did about 4 or 5 sit-ups. Now, to me, that was seeing that I can't get on the floor and do that or do sit-ups or do whatever. That's like the squats. I think of squats as getting up and down out of a chair 3 or 4 times that I normally once I got up. You know, there's things that we can do in regards to exercise. It doesn't mean we got to do that. For those that can get out and walk, good for it. I'm going to eventually get out and start walking the way I used to, but I know that I need to do it on an intelligent way. I don't need to hurt my body all of a sudden and create joint problems and everything else because I think I need to get out and walk a half hour or an hour or walk X amount of miles or go to the gym and start lifting weights and get on a treadmill and doing whatever. But I can work up to the point that at 70 years of age, I will be able to do them things. But that's why just moving, again, is exercise. You know, we need to eat foods that turn up our metabolism and avoid foods that turn it down. And we know that we've learned that eating acid in foods and alkaline foods and things like that on this program, that how certain foods are very, very good for our body. And we think basically all foods are, but yet we need to create that pH balance in our body to be as close as to neutral as we possibly can. So, you know, use supplements to give you metabolic tune-up. We have supplements to do that sort of thing. Okay? And like I said, the key is finding something you love to do in regards to exercise. Or do 100 things you love to do and doing them. You know, just like sitting down and knitting. or quilting, or doing anything that you particularly love to do. You know, going bowling. You know, it's like Mary Lou loves to walk, and now she got involved in the paddleball type situation. You see, she's increasing, and all she's doing to her body when she changes and does those different type of exercises and movements that she makes in her body, she's increasing the mitochondria, which basically burns. It allows our body, the more mitochondriums we have in our bodies, the more our bodies burn calories, but get this, here's the key, not only during exercise, but at rest. In other words, by increasing those mitochondria within ourselves, as we sit in a chair, we sit in front of a computer, we go to sleep at night, we do whatever, the more those we have in our bodies, in our cells, the more we continue to burn calories, even though we're not doing what I consider to be a physical. They've also found out that fidgeting, it says a study in the prestigious Journal of Science, it says that otherwise known as that variation in posture allocation, otherwise known as fidgeting. You realize they found out that if you fidget, that you can use almost 350 calories per day. When you amount that, that's almost a loss of 36 pounds in a year. I have a friend that comes over to the house, and she just sits there, her leg just bounces up and down all the time, all this bouncing. And I looked at her, and I said, you know, I figured out one of the reasons you're as thin as you are, and that is your body is always in motion. You're always doing. I'm not saying get out there and create ticks or do things, but, you know, I can remember when I used to wear my cardio strides all the time that when I was sitting in a chair, you know, I was picking up my foot. You know, I was just doing that kind of stuff, and that's called fidgeting. So that's the certain things that we can do. But just do things, but also know to reward yourself when you do it and acknowledge your benefits and your efforts. And one of the ways I think, you know, we talk about recipes and ways to treat yourself and whatever, and I want to read something to you out of Kathy's book, and then we'll end the call. But one of the beauties about rewarding yourself, we only lose our sugar cravings if we completely eliminate all sweeteners. To stay free from sugar cravings, it's very important not to begin to connect certain pseudo sweets out of our foods on the plan. You should avoid adding applesauce to dishes. Now, and she says, for instance, because you usually will consume more apples in your applesauce than you would otherwise eat. Cooking down fruit separately concentrates the sugars and tends to increase how much fat we eat, in turn increasing how much fructose we eat. It is different from adding and cooking an amount of fruit that you would have eaten raw. Unfortunately, there are some desserts that can satisfy a desire for cravings. And one of the things that she has in here, it's called a chocolate banana pudding, and I just love it. And it's ever since I got this little book from her. That's where you take one banana, you mash it. The more ripe it is, the better. You put in unsweetened cocoa powder to taste. You add a half a teaspoon of pure vanilla extract, which is optional, or you add 1 teaspoon of coconut milk, which is optimal. Mash the ingredients together with a fork or spoon until smooth and creamy. Now, here's the thing I like. This is surprisingly a satisfying pudding, and it is. You may eat as many servings as you wish. You are really only eating a banana and allowed fruit with unsweetened, antioxidant-rich cocoa powder. So that's kind of the thing that I do every once in a while when I feel like I just need to treat myself, or I just like to have something that maybe in my mind is a little sweet, even though I'm not adding the sugar and things like that. Well, that's it. Does anybody have any comments on how your week went or any questions in regards to what we discussed?
Monty, you know, one thing I am just amazed with is that how fast we lose muscle. In the summertime, I ride my bicycle around here a lot. And I get so that I can buzz up and down the hills, and I can have it in the lowest gear so it's harder, or highest, I don't know which one it is, so that you have to pedal harder to go up and down the hills. I don't even notice it. And now here it is the beginning of spring, and I'm out there riding my bicycle around, and I have to put it in high gear, and I can hardly make it up the hill then. What happened to my muscles?
That's right. And like they say, when you lose muscle, in most cases we gain fat. And it maybe not look like we're gaining that fat on our bodies, but it is there, and it's inside. But you're so right, Ruth. We just got to...
I don't have any muscles. I'm just all fat.
Well, you know, if we live in a country like, or a state like Mary Lou does, where they have sunshine mostly all year round, and it stays pretty warm, you get out and walk. But, you know, all those of us in the Pacific Northwest, we need to, and you bring out a real strong point, that when we don't, during the winter, when we don't normally move the way we would during summer, that we need to be thinking about things we can do around the house or whatever, that we can keep that muscle from not losing it.
I'd like
anybody
to say something. Could I interject something here?
You certainly can, and this is?
This is Glenn Blomgren in North Bend, Washington.
Glenn, thank you for being on the call. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something. My wife and I teach line dance classes down at the senior center here on a regular basis, and you'd be amazed. Most of our students are in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And they just love that class because they get great exercise and it's fun. And so I just recommend things like that. They're probably in everybody's backyard in the area where you live. Go take some of those classes, and you can do that in the winter too, Ruth. Summer and winter, even when it's raining outside.
Sounds good to me.
Hey, Glenn, this is Mary Lou. Larry and I were just talking about taking some country western dance lessons, so we were thinking about you.
Oh, cool. Well, it's a great way to get exercise and have fun and it's a social activity as well, so I just recommend it.
Yeah,
great.
That's one of the things that I was going to bring up when you mentioned line dancing is that, you know, if we could do things that allow us to move but, yes, have a social contact with other people, it's not only beneficial for our business, but it's just beneficial for our mind. It's beneficial for the satiety of just being around other people. You know, sometimes you can, and I guess I can speak from experience over the last couple of years of my life, is that when you pull away from people because of whatever particular reasons you're doing that, is that that can have a pretty much of a stressful, social, unsocial situation within your life that I hope most people don't have to go through.
Yeah, and I would just like to add to what you just said there. Out of the group that danced with us, we just signed up three of them last month. Nika.
Yay.
Absolutely.
So it works that way, too. I mean, we gain their trust and confidence, and it's just a win-win deal.
Well, you make a very strong point there, and, you know, just you, by going out and becoming committed, making a decision to do something that is beneficial to you, doesn't matter why you did it, but not only are you doing it, but you're also helping other people, and by getting these people involved in our business, that you're really benefiting those people so many other ways that they'll probably, Glenn, be very glad that they made the decision in getting to know you and taking your class. How's that?
Yeah, I like that, and One other little thing about it, not only do they do the exercise in the class, but they go home and they practice, and so they're doing it in their living rooms or in their kitchen or whatever, like you were saying earlier. It's fidgeting squared or something like that. You know?
Fidgeting the music.
Yeah.
The music also told, and I know I've read that music is also good for our mind or soul. Even good for our brain. It keeps us whatever.
Well, there is research that shows that very definitely.
Well,
there's hope for all of us.
You got that right. Those of us on the call. You know, that's the nice thing about this call, and that's that when people like Glenn or whoever speaks up, it's so important, and I really appreciate it. And I know we're all headed in the right direction. We're a good support team. It's nice to be on the call here every morning to be with all of you. And again, Easter's coming up, so we have a weekend that probably you're either going to be preparing a meal or you're going to be going someplace to have some wonderful stuff to eat. Just again, make those wise decisions and know that you're headed in the right direction. And if you don't make the right decision, always remember, the next day or that night, get back on the program and do the right foods that you need to eat, knowing that it's not only helpful for your body, but it'll give you longer life, better health, and combined with the products that we deal with on a daily basis, we're all headed in a better direction and a right direction in our lives. So other than that, I'm going to sign off, if that's okay, Ruth. Ruth will be here with us Monday. She's always got some great ideas and great suggestions. So for those of you, have a great weekend. Stay excited and know again that you're doing the right thing. Have a great weekend. Enjoy life.
Thanks, Ronnie.
So
great call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glenn, nice to have you on the
call. Nice to be here. Good information.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
There's
good recipes for good eating on online.
Yep. Happy Easter.
Healthy eating.
Yep, happy
Thank
Easter.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.